On the show today, we have the Foundation's Executive Director, Gigi Hyland, talking about CU FinHealth 18 Conference and Financial Capability Month for April. So check it out. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Gigi Hyland from the Foundation. How are you, Gigi?
Hi, Mike. I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Hey, we are talking about a couple of items on the agenda today. CU FinHealth 18 and Financial Capability Month, which is this month, or we're kind of in the tail end of it, but it's happening this month. I know. We're just getting it by the hair of our chinny chin chin. So, hey, let's talk about CU FinHealth 18 first, which happened April 11th through the 13th. What was it and what transpired and what kind of takeaways did folks get?
Absolutely. So this was the third meeting of credit union professionals that are really focusing on how do you make financial health a key part of your strategy of a mm-hmm. credit union, of how do you really put that at the center, and then everything else kind of flows from that. And we had a really wonky name for it before, Mike. The first two we had were called the Financial Capability Colloquium. Wow. And we just decided really time to rebrand.
Yeah.
And really talk about what we really mean, which is financial health.
Gotcha.
Financial health of members, financial health of employees. So we'd never called it this, but this was actually the third conference.
Mm-hmm.
We had about 65 credit union professionals from around the country, and the foundation co-hosted it with the California Nevada Credit Union Leagues and Balance. And mm-hmm. our main goal here was to do a couple of things. Number one, we started out with, we know that credit unions do all this great work around financial education, but how do you actually measure it? How do you know that mm-hmm. you're taking Gigi Hyland from point A to point, you know, B, C, or D on her financial journey,
right,
and that it's improving and that you're walking with her along that journey? So we started out the conversation around measurement, and then we also talked a lot about how does financial health link to physical health?
Mm-hmm.
How do you operationalize financial health? How do you really make it happen at your credit union? And then how do you link it to advocacy? So that was really the four topics that we talked about. And it was what was really interesting this year, Mike, is that we've seen this conference grow really by thirds almost every year. So we started out with about 20 people the first year. Like I said, we had about 65. And this is a subject that's really growing in credit unions' eyes.
Oh, yeah.
And I think what it means is, let me back up. You know, when I used to talk about financial health about 3 years ago, and I'd cite all of those statistics that you and I have talked about, you know, people couldn't come up with $400 in the event of emergency, they'd have to borrow, they'd have to sell something. I'd have a lot of very respectful credit union people say, that's really nice, but those aren't our members. And so last year, the foundation kind of set about to show that, in fact, it is credit union members. And we, I think, as you know, we did a project with CFSI for about six credit unions to actually go in and do a financial health checkup of their members and employees. And we found that, you know, about half of them are struggling financially.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
You know, they're spending more than they earn sometimes. They don't have savings. All of the national statistics translate to the local level. And so this conversation at CU FinHealth is really, what do we do about it? We know that credit unions own financial education. We know that this is their space. How do we really take it and move it forward? And so the what comes out of this, at least for the foundation, are a couple of things. Number one, we're building a set of resources on our website so that credit unions can walk along the same financial journey that we've been on and can just leverage it rather than having to start at the beginning.
Right.
Things like, you know, are our credit union members really, you know, struggling or not? Just use the data that we've got, and the answer will be yes, and you just can assume that that's the case.
True.
And then what do you do to really operationalize it? How do you start with employees? How do you get employee buy-in? How do you make sure that all your products and services are really focused on, if you think about it in the healthcare context, patient-centric care, you know, consumer-centric care around how you help consumers achieve their financial aspirations.
Right.
And so it's a really fun journey to be on, Mike, because so many credit unions are saying, it's great to design products and services, but if we're not walking in the shoes of the member and really know what he or she is dealing with, those may not be applicable. They may not be the right services. They might not be the right in time or just in time services. So I'll stop there. I'm really passionate about this because it's starting to feel like all of this work is now channeling into a bigger road that credit unions are understanding mm-hmm. what they can do and how it links to the storytelling around advocacy, which yeah. is really important.
I like the analogy with healthcare because I think all of us, no matter what financial state we're in, whether it's good, bad, or somewhere in the middle, we should get some sort of checkup. An annual checkup each year, you know, like we get our annual physical, make sure everything's going okay. And if there's something wacky going on, we get it taken care of. If not, we keep going. So I really like that analogy that you talked about as well. So that's something that's kind of near and dear to my heart as well. It's like, gosh, we need to, it's so easy to put this stuff in the back of our brain and, right. and get in the predicament where we don't have a savings in case the refrigerator goes out or, you know, we have a blowout on the freeway or the transmission goes out or something on the car. And then you're like, oh my gosh, why didn't I plan for this? So I love right. that you guys are bringing this stuff to the forefront.
Right. It's really fun. We actually, our keynote speaker for CUFIT Health was a gentleman by the name of Dr. Roderick King, who's a longtime pediatrician. He works down in Florida and works for Florida around financial health innovation and also continues to practice medicine as a pediatrician. Oh. And I think the audience could have listened to him for about 3 hours because his whole presentation was linking financial health and physical health. And,
no doubt.
You know, he talked about how the language in both, you know, if you think about them as a big freeway and two lanes that are parallel to each other, mm-hmm. the language is exactly the same. It's almost the same car that you're driving. It's just trying to link those two things together because yeah. it's the same patient who goes to a healthcare facility and, you know, receives healthcare and may have trouble paying for medical bills that may then come to the credit union yeah. and say, I'm having trouble paying my bills. How can we arrange something? Can you help me out? Mm-hmm. So it's finding a way potentially to bridge that gap and have that sense of more conversation around this patient or this consumer and look at a patient or a consumer really holistically. Mm-hmm. So that was really fascinating to hear. And there was yeah. really, I think, an aha moment mm-hmm. for credit unions in thinking about, you know, gosh, when we talk to our members and maybe they've just had a major surgery and they're really struggling with, oh, I now just got the bill for yeah. it. You know, how do you try to catch that on the front end rather than on the back end and try right. to plan for it so that you can go into the surgery and you've got peace of mind
yeah,
rather
exactly.
than, oh, I have to file bankruptcy because I now have medical debt.
You exactly. know, that's going to put you back in the hospital.
It's exactly right. But there are ways to do that. And I think it's opening up people's minds to think about those possibilities.
Yep.
Which makes it exciting because credit unions can leverage their expertise with what they're really good at,
mm-hmm.
but really help a consumer much more if they think about it yeah. in a broader sense.
I love this topic because I've had the folks on, and you probably heard, a Legacy Federal Credit Union.
Yeah.
They're big proponents of that. They've actually partnered with a local hospital. And they're doing exactly what you're talking about. I mean, they're on the same, you know, you got your financial health and you got your physical health.
Yep.
And they run synonymously. They run together, parallel together. And what happens with one affects the other. And it's just, oh my gosh, such
yeah.
a cool topic. And I hear you, it's coming more and more to the forefront. So it's really neat that this is happening. And credit unions can take the ball and run with it. So that's even the neater thing. So
right.
pretty cool
yeah.
stuff.
It is cool. And I think, you know, the other piece of it that's exciting. So we, you know, we issued a request for proposal for some grant funding this year. And we had one credit union apply. We're going to extend the grant funding because I think the timing wasn't good for a lot of credit unions. But that funding is to try to test how do you actually measure, you know, the impact of this financial health work, not only on the consumer, mm-hmm. Gigi Hyland, but also on the credit union's return on investment. And
mm-hmm.
what's the business impact of that?
Yeah.
And then being able to tell really a story around not only is it good business sense, but it's good for the consumer and it's a great advocacy story. So
yep.
slowly but surely, Mike, we're kind of working our way that way to kind of close the loop on, yeah, it's not just feel good. It's this makes good business sense for you
right.
for a variety of reasons. We're proving out that case hopefully with some data. So that's coming down the pipe
cool,
as
cool.
well this year. So it's an issue that you know we're really trying to rock pretty hard. We're using now a hashtag CUFinHealth. So you'll see that on a lot of our social media
oh, cool.
because we think it's that important and it connects to so much.
Well, I'll start using that as well because I'm a huge, huge proponent of this stuff. All right, let's switch gears here
sure.
to Financial Capability Month, which is happening right now before our eyes. And there's been some pretty neat events that have occurred over the month. So can you give us a quick summary on what you want to talk about this
sure.
month?
Sure. So I think one of the really cool events that we do at the foundation is we partner with the Jumpstart Coalition, and they do a financial literacy day up on Capitol Hill. Mm-hmm. And they have a whole bunch of their partners that come and have, you know, tables to showcase their work and their wares around youth financial education. And it's a great opportunity for Hill staff and for legislators to really come and see the difference that people are making around youth financial education. And so the foundation had a booth there this year and populated it with a lot of our BizKids materials and a lot of the other youth finance, the Berenstain Bears collaboration that we have. So it's a really great way for credit unions to not only be on the Hill, but to showcase what they do around financial health for kids. Mm-hmm. And it always, you know, you can't help but the love the Berenstain Bears and BizKids.
So can't
we have
wrong.
A lot of traffic typically at our booth. So that's probably one of the primary events and one that, again, really links what credit unions do with the advocacy piece of it. So I think that's probably why it's so important. So.
Indeed. And there's also, like, there were Twitter chats. I'm looking here on my list here. There was a Facebook Live event, a webinar, Be Ready Financially. So there's a lot of things that happened during this month to kind of keep the financial capability message alive, I guess. So, but my thing, well, I wanted to ask you, and we talked about it before the recording, is like, how do we keep this message alive throughout the year? Okay, so we focused on it this month. Great. But how do we keep the message alive for the rest of the year?
That's exactly right. And I think what's really important about, you know, Financial Capability Month or any month where we celebrate something really important is, you know, it's great to remember it during that month, but you actually have to practice it all year long. And that nothing is truer about financial capability and financial health because it's such a long-term process. And, you know, Mike, we're in our society, we have such short little attention spans and sort of we always look for the new shiny thing. And financial health is not that. And financial capability is not that. I mean, I'm sure you and I could both tell each other stories about, you know, being younger and where we were financially and what it took and the time it took to get to a place where we achieved our aspirations. And that didn't happen, you know, in a month. It didn't happen in a year. So helping credit unions understand that they're in it for the long haul with members and that that's a really good thing. And what you can do and meeting members where they are in life is also a really good thing. So I think you'll see from the foundation those little reminders and those little tips and tricks on where are all the places that you can operationalize financial health with particular communities that you may not think of. And we've got some great stories on our website with a bunch of different blog posts that talk about, you know, how you do it with employees, how do you get the buy-in of employees and really assure financial health? How do you work with local, you know, juvenile detention centers and give kids a chance at managing their money when they get out of, you know, out of essentially, you know, prison and be able to have a life where they can manage their money and they can find a way forward? Because what a hurdle that is if you don't have that knowledge. So many are. And obviously, as you know, anything with kids and reality fairs and that experiential way to learn how to manage money is fabulous.
Yeah, you guys have done a lot of that, right?
Right, we do.
Yeah,
we work with a lot of leagues and state credit union foundations to do that locally, and it goes gangbusters. Kids love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did a grant last year to the RMJ Foundation in your backyard to take their Bite of Reality app, and they're working to make that universal so that everyone around the country can start using that. Mm-hmm. Where kids are, you know, they're on their phone or they're on a Kindle and they're making those choices using technology. And that's where it's at. Yeah. You know, they don't need a calculator anymore. They just need to decide, is this a want, a need, and what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And be able to see that impact on their budget. So.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Really, and there's so many stories about credit unions doing stuff month after month after month, and especially with the kids in their schools. We just had one at, my wife told me, like a couple of weeks ago, one of the local credit unions was at our kids' elementary school. Doing some really neat stuff. It was from Mission Federal Credit Union. They were there and doing some really cool education stuff. And they had, you know, a big booth and all that type of stuff. And oh my gosh, I'm going to give them a call and see what they get to the bottom of the story there. So it was really cool to see that type of stuff, you know. And it's not only just happening in April, Financial Capability Month, but it's happening every other month too. So it's really cool to see that. So
That's probably the biggest takeaway from our conversation is just a big reminder to credit unions that financial health is every single day, every single moment with your members. And thinking about what you can do to help them achieve their aspirations is really what is what it's all about. Yeah. And that's certainly what you'll continue to hear from the foundation as a catalyst for that and a reminder to credit unions around that and providing tools and resources exactly. so that credit unions hopefully can do that more easily.
Yeah, yep. You hit the nail on the head. Very cool stuff. Gigi, yeah. Anything else to wrap up here? Any other cool projects you guys are working on there at the foundation?
It's great to talk with you. I think one very cool thing that you remember going to GAC and you remember we had a biz kid there, Mr. Mosiah Bridges.
That's right.
And what's real very cool, he just got named in the top 10 young entrepreneurs by Inc. magazine.
What?
And so we're very proud of him, and he's a biz kid, and we love him, and we're really excited for him. So,
and did I read somewhere that the biz kid didn't they win or nominated for another Emmy or something like that?
Exactly right. That's the other really great piece of news. Yeah. So we've been nominated for season 6 for the content of season 6 for an Emmy Award. And we're waiting, fingers crossed. BizKids has won 2 awards. This is the 14th nomination.
Wow.
So, we'll, fingers crossed. It'll be really, really cool and a great that should make credit unions who support BizKids feel really, really about what we do. So,
Well, even just being nominated just lets you know that you're on target with the content. So even just the nomination is really cool. But of course, we want to win that too. So, all right, Gigi.
Certainly appreciate your time.
Oh,
it's always great to talk with you.
Anytime. Always a pleasure and an education. And we like them both. So thank you so much. And until the next time. Keep up the good work.
Sounds like a plan. You too.
Thanks.
I'll talk to you soon.